sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, grace to you and peace from God who makes and never breaks the covenant with us. Amen. I'm looking this morning at our first lesson from Genesis, Abraham and Sarah. They're given new names in the covenant that God makes and never breaks with them. And we too are given new names in the covenant that God makes and never breaks with us in holy baptism. Share with the person you're listening with, or maybe just say it out loud. If you're joining us, you can type it into the comments. Share the special names that you were given. No title, no last names, just our naked and blessed first and middle names originally. For many of us, that was the name spoken when we were baptized. God makes a covenant with us, calls us by name. And there are always two sides to a covenant, God's side and our side. What is God's side of the covenant? God's side is to do the impossible. In Abraham and Sarah's case, God gives Abraham and Sarah a child. Can you believe it? Making this old, old, insignificant Iraqi couple the mother and the father of today's three major world religions, Muslims, Christians, and Jews. We all share the same ancestors, Abraham and Sarah. Can you believe it? God's side of the covenant is to do the impossible, to forgive you all your sins and grant you newness of life. Can you believe it? At the beginning of every one of our Sunday worship services, we confess and receive this forgiveness of sin. In our text today, our confession and remission, we heard it again. Beloved, God's word never fails. The promise rests on grace by the saving love of Jesus Christ, the wisdom and power of God. Your sins are forgiven. Make the sign of the cross as that's heard. Your sins are forgiven and God remembers them no more. Journey in the way of Jesus. Amen. Siblings in Christ, God always makes the first move. Yesterday in confirmation class, we actually diagrammed the sentence, God loves you. God is the subject of the sentence. The verb is loves, and we, you, are the direct object of God's love. God always makes the first move. God always acts upon us first. But what about our side of the covenant? Our side of the covenant comes from our gospel today, which is take up our cross and follow. Or you could say our side of the covenant is that song that we've been singing for the last couple weeks here at Bethlehem. About the five parts of the baptismal covenant. Do you have them memorized? To live among God's faithful people. To hear the word of God and celebrate the holy meal. To proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. To serve all people following Jesus' example. To strive for justice and peace in all the earth. This is to take up our cross and follow Jesus. The cross that we bear is the one that was streaked across our foreheads with oil in our baptism. It's the one that was streaked across our foreheads on Ash Wednesday just a few weeks ago in ashes. It is the cross that we make on our forehead every time we touch water. That is the cross that we bear, the cross that Jesus asks us to take up and then follow in Jesus' way. The key to both sides of the covenant are faith and trust. God's faithfulness and our trusting in God's goodness. with Luther and for us as Lutherans. Faith is a gift. This is so important. Faith is a gift. You should say that out loud. Faith is a gift. So the key in this covenant is accepting faith, which is given to us as a gift in our baptism. Trusting in God, which God gives us that faith in our baptism. Trusting in God. The key here is faith and trust. I can't think of a better image of trusting in God than the image of offering up our money to God, back to God. Please, please don't hear this as a fundraising drive. There's a time and a place for that, but I could care less about money raising for a specific purpose right now. This is a deeply spiritual practice to take our income and lift a percentage of it up to God. It is deeply spiritual. The offering was the original point of worship for the ancient Hebrews. That's why you have a worship service. Worship, making sacrifices. The offering was the original. There was a whole point of worship for the ancient Hebrews. That is Abraham and Sarah. Abraham will do this as the story of Genesis continues. Worship is taking the best of what you have, what God has given you, and offering it up. In Abraham's day, this was his best sheep. Taking the very best sheep. In our day, this is our money. The offering is a symbol of trust at the heart of our worship service, right in the middle between the part of the service of the word and the part of the service of the meal. We have the offering right at the center because our money is so important to us. It is so central and has kind of a counter to the way everything else works. We offer this up in joyful trust of the covenant that God has made with us. A little while back, I was meeting with a group of pastors, and we were talking about this. We were talking about the offering and giving, releasing, joyfully releasing. We sat around, we simply shared our own stories about our understanding of financial offering. Basically, how do we practice offering our money in really tangible and very real ways? Where did we get our ideas about that too? Who taught us? Who inspired us? I was inspired and a little shocked, to be honest, as stories were being shared around the circle, because the stories I heard about faithful giving, they didn't actually come off as, sometimes we talk about giving and it starts to sound like pious or pompous, but they came off as inspiring. For example, our bishop talks about how she kept tithing even during a season in her life that was probably the most difficult financially. And she can move us to tears as she reflects on how all of that was about trusting in God. Powerful. She's very inspiring, by the way. You too are inspiring examples of a people who have accepted the gift of faith, Bethlehem friends. God gives us faith in our baptism. Faith is a gift. Remember, you said it out loud. Faith is a gift. It's not something we have to earn or grow or manage. That's key, because there is lots of language out there about growing your faith, strengthening your faith, holding on to your faith, losing your faith. Faith is a gift. It's something that's given freely to us. We turn and offer back to God then. That gift is offered to us. We turn and offer back to God joyfully and in so many ways. Lent is a time to reflect again on our tithes and our offerings. It's one of the pillars of Lent, right? Giving, fasting, praying, giving. You are examples of a people who have accepted the gift of faith. Every time you open your hands and receive the bread and wine, you are opening yourself to God's guidance in your lives. During this Lenten season, I've encouraged you to maybe try praying with your hands open, just as a symbol of this, accepting the gift of faith. You are opening yourself to God's guidance in your lives, and that's inspiring, and it's shocking. Why would you do that? This is a symbol of the covenant that is made new in Christ Jesus, who promises us forgiveness and ever-presence. And here's the thing. God never breaks that covenant. We might fall short, but God never breaks the covenant. We might change, but God never breaks the covenant. God always keeps God's promises. That's at the heart of the second Sunday in the Lenten season. God always keeps God's promises. And here's the promise that God makes to us on our Lenten journey. I will be with you. As you seek to live more faithfully, God says, I will be with you. As you continue to struggle to be honest about maybe some wrong directions and decisions that you have made in your life, I will be with you. As you struggle to let go, to offer back to me joyfully, God says, to offer back what I have first given you, I will be with you. As you struggle to receive this free gift of faith, as you struggle to trust, I will be with you. As you live out, as you struggle to live out the covenant that I made with you in your baptism, I'll be with you. I'll be with you as you struggle to live among God's faithful people and hear the word and celebrate the meal. I'll be with you as you struggle to proclaim the good news, my good news, through your words and your actions. I'll be with you as you struggle to serve all people following my son Jesus' example. I'll be with you, God says, as you struggle to strive for justice and peace in all the world. I will be with you. This is the promise that God makes and never breaks. These Lenten days can be very difficult if we take them seriously, if we take up our crosses and follow. To the rest of the world, these days are just more busy days, routine days, nothing special days, dark, cold, rainy, snowy days as we long for the warmth to come back. These days can be just kind of nothing special to the rest of the world, oblivious to the fact that all of this is a gift from God. All of this, everything that you see, the paint on the wall, the raindrops from heaven, the air in my lungs, all of it is a gift from God. To the rest of the world, these days are just more busy days, shaped by the news headlines and the retail sales. But to us who struggle to follow Jesus, who struggle to take up our crosses that were streaked across our foreheads at baptism, to us who gather to be together and to recognize that every gift is of God, to us who have opened our hands and received the gift of faith, we have a promise. I'll never leave you. Never will I change. Jesus assures us, come, pick up your crosses, lose your life today, and find it in me forever. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. The Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.